Imagine a world where a simple weather formula predicts wine quality better than expert tasters, where baseball teams win championships by ignoring scouts' visual assessments, and where algorithms consistently outperform human experts. This isn't science fiction, it's our reality. Since 2007, Supercrunchers has transformed how businesses, governments, and individuals make decisions by revealing the revolutionary power of data analysis. When Princeton economist Orley Ashenfelter created a simple formula based on rainfall and temperature that predicted wine quality years before bottles could be tasted, wine critic Robert Parker dismissed it as Neanderthal and absurd. Yet Ashenfelter's predictions proved remarkably accurate, correctly identifying the exceptional 1989 and 1990 Bordeaux vintages as wines of the century, long before critics could taste them. This battle between intuitive expertise and data analysis is reshaping our world, with number crunching consistently winning across countless fields, from medicine to sports to business, by uncovering hidden patterns in massive data sets measured in terabytes and petabytes. Sophisticated algorithms predict your preferences whenever you shop online, stream content, or search for information. These preference engines have evolved from simple popularity lists into complex systems like Amazon and Netflix, which use collaborative filtering to recommend products based on similar customers' choices. Netflix's success shows the power of these systems. Nearly two-thirds of rentals come from their recommendations, enabling access to niche content physical stores can't stock. Dating services like eHarmony take this further, using regression analysis of 29 attributes to predict couple compatibility beyond conscious preferences. Companies have mastered behavioral prediction. Harrah's casinos calculate each customer's pain point, the loss threshold they'll tolerate while still enjoying themselves. When customers approach this limit, luck ambassadors intervene with complementary services to maintain satisfaction. This corporate insight raises privacy concerns, but transparency might be better than prohibition. Imagine if Avis disclosed that customers like you typically return cars with a third tank, making prepaid gas unnecessary. Meanwhile, consumer tools like Faircast.com are emerging to level the playing field, analyzing billions of prices to predict airfare fluctuations. Supercrunching relies on two key techniques: regression analysis and randomized trials. Regression analysis identifies relationships between variables to predict outcomes while quantifying prediction precision, something traditional experts rarely do. For example, Walmart's employment test uses regression to predict an applicant's likely tenure and measure how specific questions affect that prediction. Randomized trials establish causation beyond correlation. Capital One runs over 28,000 experiments yearly to test products and strategies. Their 1995 test of 600,000 prospects proved a 4.9% six-month teaser rate outperformed a longer 7.9% rate. Google applies similar randomization to optimize AdWords, automatically favoring higher-performing ads. Continental Airlines found that simply sending apology letters after flight cancellations increased customer spending by 8% the following year, generating $6 million from just 4,000 customers without requiring compensation. In 1966, MIT student Heather Ross pioneered policy randomization by testing the negative income tax. Her study showed the program didn't reduce employment, but unexpectedly increased divorce rates among poor families, sparking hundreds of subsequent policy experiments. U.S. lawmakers now embrace randomization to evaluate program effectiveness. In 1993, economist Larry Katz used randomized tests to prove job search assistance helped unemployed workers find jobs faster, saving Congress $2 billion annually. Randomized experiments have transformed states into true laboratories of democracy with proper control groups. Researchers can also leverage existing random processes, like Joel Waldfogel's study of randomly assigned judges, which revealed sentence length didn't affect recidivism rates. The MIT Poverty Action Lab, founded in 2003, has globalized this approach. Mexico's Progresa program exemplifies the impact. Randomized studies of 24,000 households showed conditional cash transfers to mothers improved school attendance 10% for boys, 20% for girls, reduced illness by 12%, and increased children's height compared to control groups. The struggle over evidence-based medicine exemplifies broader resistance to supercrunching. In 1992, Canadian physicians Guyot and Sackett advocated for statistically driven medical treatments. This wasn't new. In the 1840s, Ignaz Semmelweis proved hand-washing reduced maternity deaths from 12% to 2%, yet faced such fierce resistance he was fired and later died in a mental hospital. Similar resistance persists today. Spurred by a 1999 report showing 98,000 annual preventable hospital deaths and his wife's poor care, Don Berwick launched the 100,000 Lives campaign. By implementing 6 evidence-based practices in 3,000 hospitals, including basic measures like elevated beds and systematic hand washing, the campaign prevented 122,000 deaths in 18 months. Yet many doctors still ignore statistical evidence, continuing practices like routine annual physicals, despite studies showing they don't improve survival rates. Modern diagnostic systems now leverage digital medical records to analyze vast patient databases, enabling real-time epidemiology that spots patterns individual doctors might miss. Paul Meehl's 1954 study comparing clinical experts to statistical models across 20 studies revealed a consistent pattern. Statistical equations outperformed human experts. Subsequent research comparing statistical and expert predictions, from marital success to business failures, has repeatedly confirmed this finding. This human disadvantage stems from well-documented cognitive biases. We overemphasize unusual events, maintain false beliefs, and ignore contradictory evidence. We're also chronically overconfident. 99% of people fail to include correct answers within their stated confidence ranges. Statistical models, free from ego and emotion, simply process variables according to their actual predictive power. Even when experts incorporate statistical insights, they still underperform pure statistical methods. This has led many fields, including criminal justice, to adopt algorithmic tools like the Violence Risk Appraisal Guide for parole decisions. While algorithms excel at testing relationships, humans remain vital for generating hypotheses about causation. The rise of statistical thinking complements rather than replaces intuition and expertise. Success lies in balancing both approaches. Justin Wolfers demonstrated this when analyzing college basketball. His statistical observation that favored teams covered only 47% of large spreads led him to investigate potential point shaving through game pattern analysis. Statistical analysis's unique strength is its ability to predict and measure accuracy through standard deviations. The 2SD rule, showing 95% of observations fall within 2 standard deviations of the mean, provides a framework for understanding significance. Yet professionals often lag in applying statistics. Consider how doctors still use the 18-12 Nagel formula for due dates, despite research showing pregnancies typically run 8 days longer with a 15-day standard deviation. Tools like the 2SD rule and Bayes' theorem enhance decision-making quality. The 1957 film Desk Set, featuring Katharine Hepburn's librarian competing against Spencer Tracy's computer, foresaw our current reality. Algorithms now consistently outperform human experts at determining predictive weights for causal factors. Our advantage lies in combining human creativity with statistical rigor. The goal isn't choosing between numbers and intuition, but leveraging both to make better decisions across healthcare, education, and business.